Corpus Christi is the feast of the body of Christ. And if you recall, a few months ago I spoke to you about the scriptural evidence of the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Today I wish to speak to you about the manner of Christ's presence in the Holy Eucharist. Our Blessed Lord is in the Holy Eucharist entire and undivided, which means that his human nature and his divine nature are both present. He is not present in a state of suffering as he was on the cross, but he is present as he is in heaven, that is, living and in an entirely glorified state. So your visit to the Blessed Sacrament is a visit to the resurrected, glorified Christ. The fathers of the Church, that is, the great theologians who lived in the early centuries, are explicit about our Lord's presence in the Holy Eucharist. Saint Cyprian said, "The bread which Jesus Christ gave to his disciples was changed not in its form or outward appearance, but in its own substance, and became flesh by the omnipotence of the Word." Saint Cyril of Jerusalem said, "Is he who turned water into wine undeserving of belief when he turns wine into blood? Under the appearance of bread, he gives us his body, and under the appearance of wine, his blood." Saint Gregory of Nyssa said, "We all believe the truth that the bread which the priest sanctifies by the word of God becomes the flesh of the Son of God. This is the work of the powerful blessing which changes the substance of the bread and of the wine into the body and blood of the Lord." And Saint Augustine said, "That which was bread before the holy words of consecration were pronounced over it is no longer bread after the benediction, but is the body of the Lord." Therefore, the Church teaches that the substance of the bread ceases at the moment of consecration and becomes the body of Christ, and that the substance of the wine ceases at the moment of consecration and becomes the substance of the blood of Christ, and that this presence of Christ lasts as long as the appearances of bread and wine last. For it is a sacrament of the presence of Christ under the appearances of bread and wine. And in order for this sacrament to exist, there must continue the appearances of bread and wine. If, therefore, for any reason, the appearance of wine should cease, should it go sour, for example, or if the appearance of bread should cease through corruption from molding, for example, it ceases to be the Holy Eucharist and the presence of Christ is no longer in it. This is why it is a miracle, for example, in Italy, where there is a host that has survived many centuries, which is in the form of flesh. And when it was analyzed a few years ago, about 10 years ago, it was found to be the flesh of the heart of a man. It is miraculous in that case that our Lord would have chosen to manifest the glory of the Holy Eucharist in such a way. Ordinarily, the Holy Eucharist is subject to to the normal corruptions of nature, such as when you eat it and when you drink it, it is digested, and the presence of Christ then disappears once it is digested. Christ, therefore, dwells in our tabernacles. This is a direct result of his institution of the Holy Eucharist. For he said, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood." He did not say, "Take ye and eat, this will become my body when you receive it." But he said, "This is my body." And just as the substance of anything does not depend on our knowledge of it or our use of it, so also the substance of the body and the blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist does not depend on our knowledge of it or our use of it. After the Mass, then, the Blessed Sacrament reposes in the tabernacle, and our Blessed Lord is as much present in the tabernacle as he was on earth in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago. It is also true that Christ is entire under each of the species of bread and of wine. It would be wrong to say that under the appearances of bread is only the body of Christ, and under the appearances of wine is only the blood of Christ. Rather, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the entire Christ is present under both species. And this is so because our Lord Jesus Christ is one and entire. And you could not have a sacrament of his body without it also being the sacrament of his blood, soul, and divinity. And you could not have a sacrament of his blood without also having his body, soul, and divinity. For all of these things are united in the true Christ. And they could no more be separated in the sacrament of his presence than they could be separated in him. And it is also true that Christ is entire in each tiny particle of the Holy Eucharist. It was a heresy in the Middle Ages to say that when the priest broke the sacred host, that he was breaking the bones of Christ. Rather, each particle contains the entire Christ, the tiniest particle, as long as it is recognizable as the appearances of bread. If it is so recognizable, then the entire Christ is there. You see, therefore, that the priest takes great pains to be very careful about the little particles of the Holy Eucharist. They have dispensed with all of these instructions to the priest in his care of the particles in the Novus Ordo. They no longer have any care of the particles. Whereas it is a very strict law in the traditional law of the church that the priest must give the same respect to those tiny particles as he would give to the large host, for it is the same body and blood of Christ. On the feast of Corpus Christi, therefore, we should renew our faith in this central mystery of our faith, which demands the ascent of faith more than any other mystery
of the Catholic religion, with the possible exception of the Blessed Trinity. That we must come before what seems to our eyes to be simply a piece of bread, and there find in that little thing to our eyes our Savior and our God, to come and kneel down before what is to our eyes and to the eyes of the world simply a piece of bread, to kneel down before it and to humiliate ourselves before our God and to ask Him for everything that we need. And even if need be, to give up our lives for the protection of the Blessed Sacrament. This is a great act of faith. Yet it is demanded of every Catholic, no matter what his age or condition. And we should also renew our devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. If we knew that our Blessed Lord were descending again to the Holy Land, who would not, with great haste and at whatever expense, go to see Him in the Holy Land? Who of us would not want to kneel at His feet and to see our Lord Jesus Christ? And yet, His presence among us is no less than His presence 2,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, in a way it is greater, for we have much more access to Him than the people did in the crowds in Galilee and in Samaria and in Judea. And yet, even though we know that these things are true by our faith, who among us can say with truth that we have never neglected our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist? Who among us can say that we have given Him all of the devotion that we could muster, and all of the devotion that He deserves from our lives? And who among us could say that we have never passed by the chapel in a fleeting manner when we could have given a visit to the Blessed Sacrament? Our Lord deserves to be loved. He deserves to be loved in a supreme manner in the Blessed Sacrament. And it should be our business in life to love God the way He deserves to be loved. St. Augustine said of this sacrament, "Divine wisdom is not able to give anything better, divine charity to give anything holier, nor divine omnipotence to give anything greater." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.